Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville-Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, greetings and welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, grateful for each and everyone who will join us tonight and for those who have previously joined us in the past. We are happy to be able to engage you tonight in another open microphone session. It's open mic. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And hopefully you can join us. I hope we've been having some technical difficulty here, but I hope we can get through this next about hour and a half to 2 hours of conversation. We endeavor to keep our phone lines open for you to engage you in meaningful conversation, national dialogue, right here on Talk Straight. Again, you're listening to Talk Straight, and this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We hope that Pastor Waller, our co-host, can join us tonight. As well as our regular listening audience from out of St. Louis, from Peoria, Illinois, Jacksonville, I should say, Florida, the Chicago area, right here in Nashville, all over, those anywhere, New York, wherever you're calling from, we're happy to have you. All we ask is that we show a little courtesy and respect to one another, and even when we have the prospect of differing opinions or views, I'm convinced that that's how we grow, by hearing others, see? So you don't have to be afraid of someone else sharing their idea. You share yours, and in this span of time tonight on this episode, I'll be facilitating those opportunities, and we want to make sure we give everyone a reasonable chance to intermate their thought and participate on their level. So as I said, you're listening to Talk Straight, and it's open mic. Now, what's the difference in open mic and any other time, Doctor, and for the sake of our new listeners. Well, typically, as host, I have a scripted monologue as well as a topic of conversation. And I strive to make sure that that topic has some basis in reality, can be referenced with claims that are made, and someone who would like to go back behind this. That doesn't mean I expect you to agree with it or like it or anything of that nature, but we hope that you find it informative and perhaps challenging, you know. And we invite you to, after the monologue, to share with us your ideas, your thoughts. See, that's how we've been doing it for the last 5 years on Talk Straight here. And after the monologue, we open up our phone lines to you, the listening audience, and provide you the opportunity to share with us your thoughts, your ideas. Okay? And we do keep it clean. Sometimes our conversation in the past have gotten a bit heated and robust. And I think that's good, but we want to keep things in order. We don't want to get to a point where we're being disrespectful or dismissive of anyone. I don't believe in putting anyone off the show. You have to do that yourself. And sometimes if your behavior is out of order, that's the one thing that'll help you put yourself off. All right, but we're grown folk. Yeah, and Talk Straight been going since August of 2016. So this is our fifth year. I was just looking at a Facebook post from this date, December 14, 2016. And I believe it was entitled Overcoming the Enemy or something to that effect. Miss Mary Willington was our guest, and Reverend Johnson out of St. Louis, Missouri. They were talking about basically how to overcome addiction. And Miss Willington is a cessation coach, instructor there, teaching people how to wean off of smoking and things of that nature. So great show. And over the years, we've had those type of dialogues and from time to time guests to come on and be with us. So I said, wow, man, look at that. It's couldn't believe it. 5 years later, here we are, you know. But we're grateful on this December 14th, 2021. All right, 657-383-0944. We've had some tornadoes here in our area. Right here in Nashville, we were hit a little bit in immediate surrounding areas. And you may know that Kentucky was hit pretty bad. Kentucky, in fact, the whole community was flattened and decimated. We pray for those families, the family members of those left behind, from those who lost their lives, who perished, and those who've been displaced in other areas, in both Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, I believe that was one place, Missouri and Illinois. It's a terrible thing, but what we cannot do, beloved, is control nature. We cannot control nature. When God's will comes, we have to accept it. You don't have to accept it, but you don't have any other choice. It's going to be what it's going to be. My prayer, Lord, help me to accept your will, whatever it is. The Bible said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name. I didn't come to preach, but if I had to, and if I had to take a theme, a thought, I would say right here, he giveth and he can take it away. All right. 657-383-0944. Is the number to call. We welcome you. Selma, Alabama, I hope you hear us there and you can catch up with us there. Toronto, we had calls as far as Toronto, Canada. We'd love to have you give us a holler here. But we're going to endeavor to keep the phone lines open here for a second. What I'm going to do is, in remembrance of Kentucky, I'm going to play this song by a group called Nappy Roots. I think it's Anthony Hamilton is in here, and it's a decent little tune. Bear with me as we recognize and pray for, uplift, and encourage our friends, our brothers, and our sisters in the Kentucky area as they overcome this most recent tragedy or tornado this past weekend. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Give us a call.
I love you, Kentucky.
Call it 657-383-0944. Be happy. I would love to engage you there. And again, the floor is open to you, our listening audience here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. You're listening to Nappy Roots. Yeah. And they say, po' folk, this is a tribute to Kentucky as they overcome their recent tragedy.
The process of being poor, man. Papa taught me in order to survive for no man. Happy about some friendly roots is what we don't, man. Poppy roots from a juvenile to a grown man. You gotta take responsibility for your own, man. Loading through blacks and moaning by sunrise. Sometimes I love to hear my woman moaning the tone again. Damn, I hope you play the song again. The soul sins and the melody just read my end. Provide a lot of things for you, they just offended my leg. You've been searching for Benjamin's. All my folks locked in the sentiment, and it don't make any sense. Why? You're just a sentiment, broadcasting from the slum. Why I'm writing the sentences, lower my income. Why? So it's been all my life, but it really don't matter. No more, and they wonder why we had it this way. Now they know it's gonna be okay. All my life been told, but it really don't matter no more. And they wonder why we had it this way. Everything's gonna be okay, okay.
Yes, you were listening to Nappy Roots, Po Folks, with Anthony Hamilton. And we played that as a tribute to our neighbors in Kentucky, who perhaps, as you know already, were hit by a tornado this past weekend. And tragically, many lives were lost. Too many lives were lost. So we pray with them. We lift them up. And we continue to encourage them. And we hope that they're doing well. They will do well. I believe they will. I believe they'll come back. And people are strong in general. But you're listening to Talk Straight tonight. And again, this is open mic. We have an open mic format. And that's where you have an opportunity to call us in the podcast studio. We're If you're listening to us live from Facebook live stream, that's good. That's good. You can post questions and or comments there, and I will respond to you there accordingly. But I'd like to encourage you right now, to pick up your phone, and dial this number, 657-383-0944. See what happens when you do that. See what happens. Let's test that out. Let's try that. Let's see something for a second. Yeah, just dial that number right now, 657-383-0944. All right? We'd love to engage you in wholesome dialogue here on Talk Straight. So let me answer that question. Why you call it Talk Straight? That's what we do. We don't beat around the bush. We don't sugarcoat. We don't play. Now, over the years, some people were uncomfortable with how frank and candid our discussion was relative to addressing issues with young people in urban America, throughout urban America. You know, the crime, the miseducation, the depression, and things of that nature. Some people weren't happy with that. Some tried to couch it in the words that we were shunning them or downing them. No. Far that can be any further from the truth. Anyone who knows me knows that my life has been committed over the last 30 years to empowering young people, lifting them up, educating them, strengthening them, guiding them. As a pastor, as an educator, as a nonprofit founder and organizer, as a community advocate, and even as a candidate for public office. So we just know that to this day, even when we began, what motivated the show in the beginning, in its genesis, was we were doing a traveling lecture series dealing with at-risk African-American males and engaging people in various cities. We did research on the socioeconomic circumstances and conditions within 10 cities that had the same characteristics. Birmingham, Alabama was one of them. Columbus, Mississippi was another. Chicago, Illinois. We looked at Liberty City in Miami, Florida area. We looked at New Orleans. We considered what was going on in Indianapolis, Indiana. We looked at St. Louis, Missouri. We considered some of the dynamics that were faced in Memphis, Tennessee. So there were a few places. And of course, we began our work right here in Nashville. What we discovered is that the factors, the risk factors, were identical in each place. The people, the circumstances, the conditions were reflective in each case. So each place represented a case study. And we invited guests from various places, Charlotte, North Carolina, And we asked those guests who were individuals working in those areas with those communities, those populations. We asked them to tell us so that we wouldn't assume much beyond what we read about them. And the little bit we experienced in the cities that we were able to travel to. And they shared with us those realities, and we were able to identify again the similarities in the interest of coming up with solutions. Okay, that's what it's really all about. And so the podcast served as a tool or venue for discussion, for sharing information. By the way, if you'd like to go back, and we have over, I think is nearing now 500 episodes from 2016 to present. You're welcome to go to my blogtalkradio.com page. And what you would enter is blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. And then you'll be able to pull up all of our previous shows there. BFC is the sponsor, and what it stands for is Building Families and Communities. That come from my nonprofit organization that I founded back in 1998, along with the church ministry that we had. So just a little background on that. So here we are today, though, and can you believe it is December the 14th, 2021. Beloved, in just about 15 more days, 16 more days or so, guess what? 2021 will be gone. We'll find ourselves staring at 2022. Question is, what has changed since January of 2021 for us? And maybe that's a personal question that has to be answered. But collectively, we've all, many say that they want to see progress. They want to see a forward movement, yeah? And that's important, you understand? That's just very important. But the question becomes, how do you get there? And what does it take? So here on Talk Straight, we, again, try to maintain dialogue along those lines. I recognize that I don't have all the answers. Certainly, we bring a bit of experience with us, and we hope to be able to share that with you. Just like my good friend that's on the line with us now out of Selma, Alabama. Very passionate brother, who, Navy man, served his country and have traveled, and he's come with a various perspective on, identity, the dual identity in terms of dual citizenship. And he does embrace a certain faith, which is fine, and we constantly push him and challenge him. But tell us then, how do we replicate the good that you talk about with the people that we see that are problem, that are challenged? And so, Brother Don G. Bevelel out of Selma, Alabama. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Docker?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Excellent. Excellent. So Don, it's open mic. You know what that means. It said it's open mic. You know what that means. The floor is yours. Is there something in particular that you'd like to discuss on our broadcast tonight? Feel free to do so.
Yes, Mr. Dockery. I noticed that our people, we're still suffering from identity. And what I see now in Selma, we're still trying to go to somebody else's identity instead of learning our own identity. And, I was listening to a thing my father was saying at the end of his life. At the end of his life, he was saying that standing alone with truth is frightening, but that's the only way out. So I think that our people are scared to stand alone and really find out who themselves are, especially within. And I think that's a frightening thing for our people to do that. But we always trying, to me, it's like what I'm seeing now with leadership in the community here, they're trying to attach on to somebody else's culture and really don't know their own. So.
You know, Don, when we think about leadership, it's two kind of leaders. It's the leader that has been appointed by someone else, right? They assume a role or position. And oftentimes they got to be trained to assume that role, or somebody prepped them to carry out certain functions. And if it wasn't for the people that put them there, they wouldn't know what to do. You understand what I'm saying? But then, Don, there are authentic leaders, people who naturally know how to bring folk together and meet the needs of everybody, not being dogmatic, Don, and telling everybody what to do, but modeling the expected behavior in the way that everybody benefits. What do you think about that, Don, in terms of those two types of leaders?
I agree with you, Mr. Dockery. There's a leader that God grooms and put in the play. And then there's leader that the system give us. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we know who the one got, you know, the ship, she know his voice. You know what I'm saying? So we know who the one's going to speak that truth that we need to hear. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And, you know, big brother, we often talk about the plight of these cities, these urban areas and what have you, and their blight and what have you. And then we talk about leadership, particularly within the Afro-American community. We have a tendency to want a leader or someone to take charge, when in reality, that's a shared responsibility from all of us. You know what I mean? Because everybody got to take care of themselves. Go ahead. What you going to say?
That's true, Mr. Dockery. You know what I noticed with every national leader? They usually, you know, they really forsaken their families, their immediate family, and trying to take care of the national family as a whole. That's usually
right. And as a result, their family, particularly their children, go lacking oftentimes. It's the same way oftentimes in ministry, as the case. I won't say for everybody, but oftentimes in ministry, that's the case. You know, people are so busy trying to save the world that they miss out on their own children, own families, you know? And there has to be some balance. There has to be some balance there. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm proud of this.
Business, Mr. Dockery. That's so true. I had one sister just passed. She just passed about a month. My dad. She's his oldest child. And my older sister that's in Tampa, she didn't know my dad.
Okay.
So that's so true.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, did you hear about the tragedy?
Excuse me.
In Kentucky? Mm-hmm. The tornado hit there.
But you know what, Mr. Dockery? I made a statement here, and everybody looked at me right strange, and I said, you know what? They deserve that ass whooping. Mr. Dockery. Have you ever seen an African-American congressman in Kentucky?
No, I haven't. No, sir, I haven't.
And I know it's got to be a large African-American block up there in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Okay, then.
Let me ask you this. What would it take to have an African-American? A representative or senator?
From that state, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that the United States always want to go overseas and tell other folk what to do on the international, but they never solve the problems internal here at home.
I get what you're saying. I heard what the position you put on the floor, too, in terms of state. Now, I was saying, Don, that there were a lot of lives lost, and that's what I found to be most concerning and sad, and I was praying for the families of those who lost their loved ones in the tornado there, right? Anytime a life is lost, that's a terrible thing in my view. And what I did was I played Nappy Roots, the song Pofo, where they talked about how they appreciated Kentucky. These were blacks and whites and others in the area, man. And they were showing homage or respect for it. Shouldn't people do that, Don? Or do you think that's not necessary or too patriotic?
Well, Mr. Dockery, you know, when something like that, you know, happened, but, like I said, you know, reaping what you're sowing, you know what I'm saying? United States, we ain't been so nice to, you know what I'm saying, throughout the world.
Well, our history says that.
And,
and
then we wonder why we get the whoopings that we get from our creator.
I see.
Come on now.
And look,
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I wouldn't get up and tell this lie to y'all if I had to right now. You know, I got to be very honest with all of y'all. I've been showing out with y'all, too, a little bit.
No.
See what I'm saying? No. So, but to me to get up and say that I ain't been showing out, that'd be crazy. These folks in the United States, you know what you've been doing. You've been showing out.
Okay.
And you got to get up and say you've been showing out. And you don't want to admit up and get up and say you don't want to admit it.
Okay. Now, it's fair.
Then you get a whooping from the creator. Then you holler, oh, we don't know why. Yeah, we do too.
Yeah. Well, it's fair, Don, to accept.
So I don't play crazy. Huh?
It's fair to receive constructive criticism. I'm talking about of America right now. Okay. It's fair. That's fair to be constructively criticized. Right. But as a nation, what do you think we have to do to improve? We're about 249 years old, something like that. I think I got that right.
Mr. Doctor, they took over the seat down in Memphis, just took it over.
Who did?
So greedy. Look at Tennessee. Look at Kentucky. You so greedy, you just going over, just taking over folks.
No. Tell us a little bit more about what you're saying. You said they took over the seat there. What do you mean?
Huh?
When you said they took over the seat in Tennessee, what you talking about?
You know, that congressional seat in Memphis, everybody know who's supposed to be there. They both be one down there in Chattanooga and one in Nashville, too. Went up there and redeveloped Nashville and just moved everybody around like they was chickens up there in Nashville.
Okay.
From one area to the next.
All right.
Congressional district ain't never had one look like that. That was a plantation era for Andrew Jackson, wasn't it?
Okay. All right.
Seemed like we'd have come off the plantation sometime or not.
Well, bring us up to 2021.
Hello.
This is December the 14th, 2021. Bring us up to speed now. What can we positively expect? I'm going to put it on myself, since I'm the host of the show. What should people reasonably expect from people like myself who has a podcast, have this limited voice, or any other resources? You, in your area, in my area, in other cities, what should we expect from individuals, Don, reasonably, moving forward? Because, look, we're going to be in another calendar year, in the solar calendar anyway. And you know, some would argue that ain't not enough has happened. You know what I mean? We here, but we don't see no difference, man. What do you think, big brother?
Well, Mr. Dockery, the way I look at it here in Selma, and the geographics and the population-wise, you know, our people don't have an economic foothold here. But we the majority population here.
Why is that? Why don't we have a...
I don't know.
Huh?
What is that? We don't control one financial institution. We're not part of the Chamber of Commerce here in Dallas County. And we the majority.
You're speaking of in your area.
Is we still in slavery?
Well, and one would argue, big brother, that Selma was the stage by which a lot of consciousness was shared, right? In Selma, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
That's where you are. And you would think that with all that historic power and messaging that came from that region, that by now the people who represent the majority of the population in the city of Selma, that they would be a model for the rest of the world, perhaps. Is that asking too much?
Mr. Doctor, if I really told you, I know going on the Selma, you beat you, Doc.
Well, keep it clean.
Mr. Doctor, I'm going to say something. Like I said, they the majority here, and they will control nothing economic. That's all I'm
saying. I got you. All right. Well, let's bring
it. It's kind of sad. And
Go ahead. Finish your thought there.
It's kind of sad that we are what we are as a people, but it seems like to me we done woke up by now that we should be a part of an economic process of a country instead of being just, you know, modern day slaves. Seems like we as a people, you know, wake up.
I see. Well, let me bring my friend, my co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. He's the co-host of two books now, and we've been celebrating those books since 2016. 5 years now, Pastor Waller. co-host and author of Still High, which was the first book, and the second book, The Flip Side. Flip Side just came out about two years ago, Pastor, that The Flip Side came out now, or a year?
That's right. Almost.
Almost 2 years. And the Still High came out in, was it 15 or 16?
2013.
Wow, 2013. Okay. Yes, sir. So we pressing on, Don. We're pressing on. Don, this Brother Bevel, you know Brother Bevel out of Selma, Alabama.
Oh, Pastor. Yeah, brother. Yeah, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, Pastor?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes.
I heard something about modern-day slavery there.
Well, Don, be putting it on the floor now. What did you say about that, Pastor? What you say about that?
Well, it could be very fitting. It can be very fitting because if it's modern-day slavery, that means that it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a twist to it.
Got a twist to it, huh? What?
Yeah, and it's having, you know, it's been awakened.
Okay.
Trying to wake up, you know. And,
yeah.
There's something that can be done about it. I feel it's a goodness. Something that can be done about it if that's the case. Now, I would say that I can't do anything against or say anything against that because you look around, some of the things that's still going on, it's fit.
Well, now, that's interesting you say that because, Don, when you think about it, formally, the 13th Amendment was ratified December 18th, 1865. This is December, soon to be 18th. 2021, we're looking at about now, 54 years, Don? Something like that? 55
mm-hmm.
years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
even though presumably by constitutional fiat, people are free, how do we reconcile anybody still being in slavery, gentlemen? Help me with that. Help me with that. Y'all help me understand it like I'm 3 years old. How could anybody still be a slave?
I opened my book up. I opened the Flip Side book up, and I just swung it open. I didn't know where it was going to land. But,
come on, man. Come
I
on,
was
man.
Actually, I would love to see it fall on where I talk about being awakened. But just
uh-huh.
what happened, it fell on talking about being a slave. In other words, I haven't checked myself enough to acknowledge that the Word of God does say this. He says, now, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am not spiritual. Sin rules me as if I were a slave.
My goodness.
As if I were its slave. In other words, I do not understand the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do not do the good things I want to do, and I do the bad things I hate to do. That sounds like slavery to me.
What?
Now, according to the scripture, that there's a lot of people that's doing things that they don't want to do, but they're doing it anyway. And if you don't know that you can change that, I mean, that sounds very fitting to me, you know.
Mm.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Some things,
yeah.
If we're not going to wake up, certain things, then we will continue to do that. And I'm just grateful myself, personally, to have been able to wake up according to a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, a little go a long way. At least I've been awakened enough to know that, man, this is real.
Yeah.
This actually do take place. And
okay.
Sometimes a person is so comfortable with being in that position
mm-hmm.
that coming out of it would be like, I don't want to be free. You know?
Yeah. Look, yeah, man, I didn't get comfortable, Pastor. I didn't get comfortable. You talking about moving now?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hold up, man.
Don, you and Don trying to push me out of my comfort zone now. I just got comfortable.
Man, I'm kidding. I had to look at a situation right there and say, are you comfortable with being in that mode because it still exists. And it's just,
right.
I heard him say modern day. It's like you put a little twist to it, make it seem like you're free. You're either free or you're not. And you know,
what?
We talked about that passage a lot about the scripture saying you should know the truth and the truth shall
and
make
it'll
you
do what?
Free.
It'll make you free.
Yeah, make it free. So, you know, if we free, we free. And I just believe that some people are just comfortable with being in that mode of just not wanting to change that what is changeable and it's not right. It's like
right.
Why would you continue to do this if you know it's not right and you know that it's something that you just say, I'm going to go along just to get along and I'm okay with it. But that don't mean you have to. I mean, it's just a thing where, you know, I don't think the people who is calling themselves rulers of the world is forcing you to do certain things, but yet still, you know, it's up to me. If I'm the ruler of something in particular, then I have a right to keep the person in that slave mentality.
Okay. I got a tough question I want to ask you and Brother Don. I'm going to start out by realizing it can be a little tough. But, Don, let me start with you. Is that all right if I start with you, Brother Bevel?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. How does a man be free? Uh-oh. Everybody talking about being free. How you be free, Don? Aren't we bound by some rule, some order, some societal expectation? How does a man be free, Don? Let me pose that to you first. Help me with that.
Mr. Dockery, that's a good question. And I don't think we contemplate that as brothers. We don't really contemplate that.
Hmm.
And because, you know, I was just saying, you know, we as a people here in Selma, Alabama, the majority of the population, I don't think that we really sat down and really understood what really went on in that dynamic that we call the Civil War. When Lincoln passed that National Banking Act of 1863, I don't think we really, really realized what really happened. I really don't. We just hear that and just keep on. I don't think we really listening to that.
Okay.
The National Banking Act of 1863. And really go through there and read that. Do we really understand what's being said in that document?
Are
we just passing through?
Well, some people don't care about it. Some people don't even know it exists. Can you believe that?
Listen to this, Mr. Doctor. You know about this. In the beginning, how he said, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Holy Ghost. Watch out now.
Some people don't want to know nothing about God's word. So some people don't know, won't know nothing about reality. They just really want to be slaves. You understand?
Okay.
Like you said, some don't care. Don't give a damn.
I'm going to go there with you, Don. I'm going to go there with you, okay? Since you want to go there, I'm going to go there with you. So, Pastor, watch this. John, the 8th chapter and the 36th verse, followed up on what you were alluding to earlier. Knowing the truth and it'll make you free. Watch this, Don. Watch what John said. John said, whom the Son sets free. I ask y'all the question, how you be free. I'm going to give you the flow, Pastor, and let you talk to me about that. John said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. How you get there, though, Pastor? What's up with it? Because I'm still seeing people around. What I'm hearing from y'all is there's some people in slavery now. And let's talk about that.
That's the key. You said something right there, though, Pastor Docker. Because of my ignorance and my lack of knowledge, I didn't know I could get free from some things. And that's why I said I'm really grateful, because there are some things that I was in that slave mode and I wasn't able to break free. But when I got with the one who is the way maker and he made me free, and if I chose to stay in it, he would say, well, it's not my fault. I made you free. So, you know, And that's the thing about being free. Captivity is real, and a person, you know, can be enslaved in many areas. And so I thought about that, and I said, man, look, I was enslaved with a lot of things, man. And now that I know that I've been made free, I know true freedom. And, you know, thank God that who made me free. That's how you get free. That's the way I got free. I sure couldn't get free on my own. I know I tried it, Pastor Doctor. It didn't work, man. I must say, hey, Doug Don, I did all I could do to get free, man. It didn't work. You know,
man,
as soon as I got with the one that was able to make me free, I said, oh, man, that was it, man. No wonder. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the right connection.
Okay.
On how to get free. So that's what's going on, man. A lot of people, even though a lot of people may be attending church and proclaim that they know God, and it's a lot of that go on.
Wait
a minute. Not free. But still not free. But you just said the word that if he makes you free,
then you're free.
The Son makes you free. You're free indeed.
So that's how you get free.
That's the way I would suggest if a person don't know how to do it, get with the one who know how to do it, man, and that'll help a lot.
Don?
Because,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Don, I heard somebody say, if you want something, seek first the kingdom and all of his righteousness. And I'm going to put this in there. Freedom will be added unto you. How about that, Don? Maybe we're not looking the right place, Don. Perhaps that's our problem, collectively speaking. Maybe, could that be the problem, Don, that we're not looking? We're looking for the wrong thing in the wrong places. How about that, Don? You there with me, Don? Okay, Pastor, you still
there? Yeah, I'm here, Ms. Doctor.
Did you hear my question?
I can barely hear you, Ms. Doctor, on this end.
Oh, man. Okay, that ain't good. Can you hear me better now? Don, can you hear me?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay, let me get up a little closer.
Yeah, I hear you a little better.
Okay, I asked the question. I read somewhere that said if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that certain things will be added to you. I'm going to stick freedom in there. So maybe we're looking for the wrong thing, Don. Is that a possibility? That we're looking in the wrong places?
And then, Mr. Doctor, see, Mr. Doctor, we got to get a little deeper. See, Jesus said, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, right? But then,
that's
Mr. Doctor, let's take it a little bit further.
Jesus brought
the temple of perfected man, and Solomon built the temple. Now, listen to what Solomon said. Solomon said, love righteousness, you rulers of the earth. So you're seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, but do you love righteousness?
My God. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Pastor, Don would tell you that the infamous words of the noble prophet Ju Ali, he inculcated certain principles, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. How do those wrap up in that, Don? If we're looking for the right, maybe that's why we bound, man, because we're not looking for the right thing. We're looking to be rich. We're looking to be popular, famous, perhaps. You know what I mean? Don, what are we going wrong, big brother? Y'all talk. Come on, y'all help me tonight. Now, this is talk straight. I want y'all to help me tonight. Huh, Don?
I think, Mr. Dockery, we as a people been misled, misguided, and you know what I'm saying? We haven't been really awakened to what seeking the kingdom is really about. You know what I'm saying? We're thinking seeking the kingdom is about getting materialistic things. You see what I'm saying? What happened when you seek the kingdom and know how to make those materialistic things?
Watch it now.
what about you going in the nothing with God and coming out with something with God? You know what I'm saying?
I think you're trying to preach on me, man. Well, slow down, Don. You're trying to preach. What? Well, that makes sense to me. That make a whole lot of sense to me. Pastor, what say you to that now? He done put us on the court of righteousness. What about that, Pastor?
Yeah, I think he's right on point. You know, if you seek him first, and go with nothing, I mean, that's, you know, that's something that makes sense. because that's how I believe it would be better. It would be better to go to him like that. That means you can depend on him. And a lot of people may have the thought that they got to have a lot of things before they go to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't believe that you have to have a lot of things to go to him. You know, he said, come just as you are, the way that you are. Jeff, that means just like you are. And if you're down to nothing, don't have anything, you know, just take it to him.
Mm.
And be your supplier. I heard he was a supplier. You know, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that I heard about it.
Wait a minute. And, now, I'm listening to you, gentlemen, and it sounds like that y'all are inferring that I don't need no degrees done. I don't need no money, no nice car, no house, no good-looking woman on my arm. I don't need none of that if I seek him. Is that what y'all trying to tell me?
Okay.
help me.
You're up to something right there. Yeah.
Don said you can make those things happen if you seek him first. Did I hear you right, Don?
Yeah.
Don, did I hear you right, bro?
That's right. That's it.
Okay.
And that's what I think our young folks, they never educate our young folks into that, Mr. Dockery.
Wow.
They educated them to seek materialistic things, but they never educate them to know how to make them. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
that's two different thought processes.
Correct. Don, I saw where in several cities, young folk were doing smash and grab, okay, breaking into places and what. They raided a Home Depot store to get toolbars and hammers and what have you, to go to a jewelry store and luxury store so they can break in there still. So you're saying, Don, maybe they got the wrong idea about what they really need to be going after. Not those material things, but the value. And Pastor, is this where our young people are going wrong in 2021? That the older...
Well, I would say...
Hey, Mr. Doctor, I was sitting here at Raceway, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I seen two sisters pull up, and I'm sitting back, and both of them in Nissan cars. And I'm sitting there just looking at the sisters in the Nissan car. I've been in a process where I have seen federal money laundered from the west side and south side of Chicago, laundered to Tennessee, and start a whole car manufacturing company.
Oh,
so
wow.
So when you have young people that talk, you know, never was taught about investments or wasn't part of the banking industry, they were left out of that. You see what I'm saying? They don't know about them laundering money, you know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They're in a whole different other culture.
I get that. They're seeking for material gain. They're not looking for spiritual strength and identity. They're seeking for material gain. Pastor was going to say something. What were you going to say there, Brother Pastor?
No, I was just actually, you know, I was just listening. I was just thinking about, you know, how information is really, really necessary. And when I just say information that comes from the scripture that you was talking about, you know, seeking first, that kind of information, man, and, you know, and his righteousness and all these things shall be added. I mean, that's the information that we need.
Right.
So I don't know if young people, because I've been very, very young and naive and didn't know any better myself, so I didn't know to seek him first.
Correct.
And that's a tough situation, man. That's a real tough situation that need to be addressed.
I concur.
I was just thinking about that.
Well, now here's something, gentlemen. Here's something, because we're about to go into another
annual cycle. Hold on one second, bro.
Okay.
Hold on one second, bro.
Who we talking to? Who we talking to there? All right. Don, is that you or is that Pastor that said hold on?
No, hold on. This is homework. Hold on.
All right, give me a second. Get situated there. Look like somebody's joining us there. You're listening while they're doing that. You're listening to Talk Straight. It's open mic night, and we're just speaking generally about how you become free. Placed on the floor that people are in a state of servitude or slavery. And then these gentlemen were espousing some knowledge on how. 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Call the podcast studio here today. Let's hear your view. Let's hear your voice. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we got our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallon, and our good brother out of Selma, Alabama. Selma, Alabama, joining us. And gentleman is adjusting things there. And say that again. All right. Are you ready? You guys ready?
Excuse me here a moment.
Okay. Hello?
I'm here. You still there with me, Don?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I hear him a little better. Yeah.
Looked like Pastor Wally had to step away for a second there.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Okay. You there? Okay. So I was posing that question, gentlemen, a little bit deeper about the intentionality, particularly for young people moving into 2022. We're about to go into another cycle, man. And should we still be in the same place this time next year, Don? And if not, y'all help me with the focus here. What should Dockery do to make it better? I'm going to put the weight on myself. What should Dockery do to make it better? Anybody? Don? Go ahead, Don.
I think you should keep doing what you're doing in the spirit you're doing, in the spirit you've been doing it, Mr. Dockery. You know what I'm saying? You know, you call to your purpose.
Okay.
And like I said, the sheep know it's the shepherd's voice.
My. It's the stranger that won't follow. That was the text said. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger will not follow. Now, you've been trying to preach all night over there. So,
That's where I look at it. You're in Nashville, and you call for Nashville. And so you have to respond to, you know, like you've been responding to Nashville, and they know you as part of Nashville.
Okay. Should we feel bad, though, Don, if we can't reach everybody when we throw our net out there? We can't get everybody. How should we view that, big brother?
I think we can get everybody. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but guess what, Mr. Dockery? I don't think that we should give up.
Okay.
And I think, Mr. Dockery, the young folks,
yes,
if you really wouldn't talk to them about spiritual things, just like I talked to them about the storm and reaping what you're sowing, they understand it real well.
Yeah. There's a certain...
These young folks, if you tell them, say, hey, that's God whooping you from being disobedient, they'll agree with you.
Okay, they can see that, huh? That those are the handiworks of God.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the bright sunshine.
Oh, the Creator.
Yeah, the bright sunshine. That's as much as the will and expression as the sunshine when it's nice and sunny outside and a good cool breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, big brother?
Yep.
Well, hey. I think
that we as a nation should pray more, Mr. Dockery. I don't.
Wow.
We as a nation don't pray like we should.
Could that be because we haven't professed ourselves as a spiritual religious nation, but one nation under God? That's what they say. That's what they say. Could that be what the issue is, big brother?
That could be the issue, Mr. Dockery. You know, I look at it when my father was living, and I look at it now, and it's like, or look at it before, you know, him and Dr. King came. Just think about the generation came before them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And look at
mm-hmm.
the generation now. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that older generation, they had a real close relationship with God.
I see what you're saying. Well, I think Pastor Waller would agree with you there. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But one thing for sure, and that is somehow it seems like old folk are afraid to do, as you said, Don, have that candid discussion with young folk about the need to have a relationship with the Almighty. Am I off with that, Pastor?
Well, yeah, you're right on it because it makes sense. You know, you asked the question earlier also that what should you do? And that meant that if you continue to do what you're doing, you know, it has to do with the sometimes, you know, Isaiah 40, 31, the day they wait for the Lordship to do the strength. You know, you could be getting the strength that you need. So when that time comes for what you're seeking, which is the will of God, all you're doing is seeking his will first. And then all these other things, you know what I mean, were added because of his righteousness.
Right.
And I think that's a good point that Don made earlier. You know, that's what I believe I would say you should continue to do. What you're doing, you're doing a fine job at it. So you might as well continue.
Thank you. You know, sometimes, gentlemen, it doesn't seem like you're making any movement. You know, look like you talk till you're blue in the face. And still, Don, you talk often about the things that frustrate you that you see there in Selma. I think Pastor Waller would agree with you that there are some things that frustrate him right outside his front door.
Right outside.
Would y'all be in agreement with that, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. I know we would because he's mad.
You know, and why is it our tendency to be so frustrated, gentlemen? Why is it that we get frustrated first? Anybody? Don, what frustration
is it?
Go ahead.
The frustration is the need for, it's frustration is for the real need for community. You see what I'm saying? For brothers to come together. That's the frustration. Brothers don't want to come together.
What?
So it becomes, yeah, so it becomes frustrating.
I see. What about that, Pastor Wild? It's
pretty tough right there. All I can say on that, that's pretty tough. If they did come together, man, it'd be tough.
And this is pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Pastor. When you stand on principle, in reality, well, let me just say in my experience, it's hard to find people who are serious about standing on that principle with you. And that can cause one to be a little lonely. And if you're not sure about what you're there for, it's easy to be dissuaded, but for certain, if you love people and you love those who you're trying to help and improve and serve, that's got to be your motivation, even when you become frustrated. All right. Well, we got about another 50-some minutes before we wrap up tonight. Anything else you guys want to discuss? Just open mic. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Anything else, Pastor, that what's going on in Nashville that you want to see some resolution to?
Hey, man, I just would say to keep a steady pace. You know, that's what I would suggest.
Okay.
For one to do, keep a steady pace.
Any vision for new way outreach ministry this coming year?
I haven't been doing a whole lot, but what little bit that I have been doing has been interesting because I got a call from a young brother, you know, and he was reaching out, man. They've been watching the things I've been doing for years, and you know, they made a call the other day and reached out, and he's taking food out. So it's making a difference. So it's going to be interesting. I'll get a chance to see it tomorrow.
Okay, good deal.
Oh, yeah, I'll get a chance to see one of the guys tomorrow, man, and it's just a beautiful thing to see young guys stepping up, you know, wanting to make a difference in their life. And, you know, I thought that was interesting, man. You know, I really did. I thought that was interesting.
Sure.
Actually,
sure.
He's supposed to be purchased and wanted me to get the book for him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Don, so we'll I know tomorrow. That. Okay, good deal. Don, I know it's time when you've been trying to pull together and organize a group of individuals. What are some visions that you may have for 2022, man? Some things that you see could.
If you can get eight brothers here to come towards the Morris Science, you get a temple here. Huh. You got to get eight young men to come conscious. Eight.
Okay.
You can get eight, they can get a temple. And I think if those eight young men would come together and just study the questionnaires, I think that they would be able to see a brighter future.
Interesting.
If you can get them to slow down just to study.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's the thing, though, Don. There are so many distractions, man, coming from so many directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
For them to, you know what I mean, to be focused. Because, go ahead.
There you go. Focus.
Yeah. I mean.
That's it. If you could get eight just to focus.
Mm-hmm. I was watching my grandnephew work with some Lego blocks, Don. And I noticed how patient. But excited he was about building one level to the next, right? And something happened that they got knocked over, man. Oh, man, that just tore him all down. and for a minute, he didn't have the wheel to start over because it took him so long, man. Can you see where folks have been striving and seeking for obtaining a goal? And then they find themselves in a position where something happens that it gets knocked down. Now I won't do it no more. Now I ain't won't do it no more. How about that, Don? So the text.
Why they don't want to do it no more?
Well, Disappointment. Frustration. You understand what I'm saying?
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Disappointment.
Yeah, that's what
that's part of life.
What? You mean tell me everything
ain't peaches and cream? Come
stop
on.
Stop now. See?
Come
it
on
ain't
now,
all
young folks. There's some struggle. There's got to be some struggle with it.
Wow.
Come on now.
Okay.
Got
to
be some discipline, some time, some patience. It don't go like that.
Pastor, what about that, man? He's telling me I got to crawl before I walk. I got to crawl before I walk.
This sounds like order.
I'm getting somebody's feedback. Hold on one second.
Yeah, I hear it myself.
Okay, Don, are you out and about?
I'm here in the store.
Okay, I'm getting somebody
inside.
Feedback. Okay, so Pastor, is that what he telling me? Look, I'm gonna have to put some work in, man. Make some sacrifices. What's up with that? And I thought they said it come. You know what I'm saying? Give come without repentance. What about that, Pastor?
Yeah, you got to put some work in, and I'm sure you're putting a lot of it in, Pastor Doctor. I just thought I'd reiterate on that.
Okay.
But to be able to acknowledge the work that you're putting in, and then you look at it and maybe say to yourself, I need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a thing where sometimes, you know, you just feel like you have to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that thought, you still can take it back to the scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Even with the doing more, that's added. So there's nothing wrong with doing more. Just know that you're on the right road. You're on the right track, you know. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
And I like to make that, broaden it out to a generality, because
Oh yeah.
Truth be told, that's what we all gotta do.
You understand what I'm saying? And I find that one of the reasons people throw their hands up and say forget it, they give up, is because it seems like this task is so big. Sacrifice is so great, you know? But I'm going to go the easy way. Go to broad road. You remember the text that you shared with us, Pastor? It says, all run in a race. How did it go, Brother? How did it go? Fix that up for me. All run.
Say that again.
The text
all
you
run
shared
on with on the one way to prize. But only
so,
one win the prize.
Then what's the point of beating the bank on me? Hold on.
So he wants you to run that you will obtain, that you will obtain. So when you run knowing that you're going to obtain it, you're going to be all
right. Right, right. So all run in a race. So you're telling me that despite the fact that it's a chance, only one person going to get the prize. I still should run in that race? That don't seem fair, Pastor.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like wherever you are, we're getting some background, some echo there. If you could kind of maybe move your position a little bit, Don. All right. I'm bringing you back in, brother. Pastor, go ahead. What were you saying there?
Yeah. The scripture does say, you know, all run, but only one win the prize. So run that you may obtain it. That means that once you step up to the race, you look at it as if you're going to win, and you just run.
Okay.
And follow the instructions, and you know you're going to see the outcome in your favor.
But look, Pastor, ain't gonna be but one person get a prize. Knowing that, why should I even try? You know what I mean? I'm Paul.
Yeah, but you are the one.
Uh-oh. Say what?
Yeah, you're the one. See, that's the one that win the race.
So
that's
when
the
you
one
gonna
win the prize, you know.
Let me fix this up, man. You're telling me I should come in the race with the mindset that I am a winner, and I don't wait till the battle's over. I'm going to shout right now. That's
the mentality
that I come in with?
Yeah, that's it.
I see.
Because, you know, you're stepping up to it, you know, to win the race, to win the prize.
What?
And the prize is they're waiting on you.
I see.
Just get it.
I see. Well, you know the text. Simply the race given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, right? In the previous text, the writer suggests that he looked at the thing and he saw that that was the case. You understand what I'm saying? That it ain't about
going
in
the swift.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. We're getting a little feedback from Brother Don, wherever he is there. But we definitely don't want to lose that. But
I don't know why you're getting feedback, Mr. Darker. I'm outside in my car.
Okay. I'm
locked
somehow,
in my car, so.
Are you using your phone? All the way up. Okay, for some reason or other, we're getting that that feedback. I'm using a different
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Yes, I can hear you. Okay. All right. Well, so what we've been talking about, again, is the discipline of mind in terms of people moving forward with the next year. What is it that young folks want? Should we worry about these old folks? Should we be concerned about these old farts?
Should we worry about the older generation?
Yeah, the old farts. Or do we worry about these babies out here? I'm talking about it, Dom. Should we worry about these old farts, man, or what about these babies? Come on, Don.
Well, the old one spoils the baby. If the old one's ignorant, he's going to keep teaching ignorant babies.
So should we focus?
So some kind of way we got to destroy ignorance in the younger as well as some of the old.
Okay. It seems like to me.
Or if you keep a vicious cycle, huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your statement.
It seems like if you don't educate some of these old heads, they're going to teach the younger folk how to be ignorant. See what I'm saying? So you have to educate some of the old ones, too.
Now, that just
we got to break a cycle. We got to break a cycle up here, huh?
Absolutely. That goes back to something, Pastor Wilder, we talked about last Tuesday when we were using that case where the 11-year-old was out carjacking people out. And I believe we all agreed that some old person put their child up to doing that. And I would argue, gentlemen, that the real threat that to the babies is mostly people that don't want to change that's in the way. What do we do with them, Pastor Wallace?
Well, it goes back, Pastor Doctor, to the being comfortable. You know, when one is comfortable doing things, they're numb. Mm. As I myself was, I was numb. Didn't know any better, so you have to, as a point of contact, and if they're becoming more of an influence to the young, so they have to be reached as well, in order for it to work out. In order for it to work out like it should,
mm-hmm.
you gotta have the young and the old,
mm-hmm.
because to get them a new identity. That means they got the old identity, and they have to prepare to get the new identity, which means that's all changed.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's who the young is watching for the most part. You know, and little do they know that they're watching them because they're so into what they're doing. And, man, I tell you, it's very important to look at them both.
Well,
that's a danger.
Sure. I just thought about one of your chapters, Pastor, in your first book, Still High, where you describe how as a little boy you observed certain examples on the street.
You found that fascinating.
And these are the people that you, as a little child, aspire to be like, emulate.
That's it.
But
yeah.
Were those proper examples for you?
That's what happened. You know, it wasn't intentional. I don't even think that they knew what they were doing. I just was observing, you know, and because I had a basketball, so they didn't have no clue that I was watching them. I'm playing with my basketball, but I still can look up and see what they were doing.
And
I was curious. I was curious about what they were saying. And I easily became that, man. So, yes, that happens. That's why I say we got to be mindful of what we do in front of the kids. They're watching. They're watching and they're observing. They're looking forward, man, to get with some of the things that they see others do.
Yeah. Well, yep, let me ask Brother Don this. Don, is there a limit to how far you'll go to save a lost child? You have a question, Don? Because it seems to me what I hear people say is I want to help, but I'm only going to go so far. So, look, gentlemen, my daughter had a little health scare, and my wife went up to Milwaukee to check on her. And while we were there, somebody stole our car. And come to find out, the little fella was only about 3 months younger than my son. You understand what I'm saying? So they asked us, district attorney sent us a letter asking us if we wanted to press charges and if we wanted to say something, if we wanted to talk about the harm that was done. And you know what I said, Don? And you know what I said? What I want to do is I want to snatch him up and show him how to make Jesus Christ his personal savior. That's what I want to do. But y'all ain't going to let me do that. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right.
They ain't going to let me
That's
do that.
That's right. No, they're not going to do that.
They ain't going to let me do that.
No, they're not.
See, Don, watch this. Imagine Jesus being 23 when they sent him off in the wilderness, Don. But when he came out of the wilderness, he was a changed man. Have I got a witness?
That's it.
This is what you're saying, Doctor. What you're saying, Doctor. We got to take these young men, Don, pick them up in a UPS truck or Wonder Bread truck or something, and take them to the wilderness. Then ask them how you feel when you came out the wilderness. How about that, Don? What about that? But they ain't going to let Doctor do this.
Yeah, that's what.
Go ahead.
Well, some of them need that experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, some of them ain't never fast before. Think about it. Some of them ain't never fast before. Don't even know what fasting is.
My God. My God. And look, Pastor Waller, we can lock them up behind walls for years, but you can't teach them to discipline themselves in the fast. You can't teach them that you don't live by bread alone. I wish I had a witness.
Yeah, man. Everywhere.
Well, I didn't come to preach, but I feel something like that.
That is what they need the most.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they need that.
Yeah.
To know that. God's word. That would be awesome to know that.
Man, look. Look.
That would be awesome.
They out there in the streets. They out there because they have an insatiable appetite for everything they see and hear in the media and around them. But watch this, Don.
Oh, yeah.
Man don't live by his appetite, the dictates of his appetite. My God. But there is a word. Somebody said that earlier. But in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word was with God. By him all things that were made.
By him all things.
Leave it alone, Don. Leave it alone. Don, I didn't come to preach, man. I see you trying to preach, trying to take me. Yes, sir. Listen, suppose we took them in that 6x6 dark room, Pastor Wallace, and we closed the door, turned the lights out, and all we did was spoke words. You wouldn't be scared with the pastor.
I have been numb before in my life.
Wow.
And when I was numb, I didn't have that fear of nothing and nobody. I remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that when I came to myself and I realized that I was numb, and then a situation or two happened, and I noticed something that I stood firm. Even in the midst of the darkness that was going on, I found myself still making a stand, and I might have been so afraid, so scared, I couldn't even shake. You know, and that's the thing about it, because they had some big guns, man, and I know they didn't know who I was or who they was talking to, but I knew they didn't mean no harm, but still they was in the mood of bringing forth harm.
Wow.
And in the midst of it, man, I remember so well. Like, what am I going to do now? You know what I mean? Do I grab them? Do I take the gun? All those things come at me. It came at me, brother, in a flash. And it worked out, is what I'm saying. The bottom line, it worked out. And so the little guy, you know, I think I had him to call in to the show, man, one time, one of the guys.
I think I remember that.
It was a situation or two. So, you know, it's tough out there on the ground. It's not easy.
It is. But what I was alluding to. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish it. I apologize. Finish it.
I was saying to reach them right where they are. You know, you got to meet them where they are.
Right.
And that's just where they was. Go ahead, Pastor.
when you were speaking, Pastor, it hit me all of a sudden that really what I'm alluding to by the example of the 6x6 room is a place that's fixed to where you have to work, right? And it really determines and settles what our work should be. You see what I mean? It really defines what the work is. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes I hear people saying, Don talks about brothers getting together and coming together. But that should not be just for the sake of you being in the room and nothing happening. What's on the trestle board? What designs are we working to manifest? You understand what I'm saying, gentlemen? What is it that you're looking as an outcome when you come out of it as an outcome? You follow me, Brother Dunn? You follow me, Brother
Dunn? Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Right. Because for sure, if you get 10 people, Don, Pastor Waller, in the room, some of them going to be looking at their shoes, brushing their clothes off, fixing their hair. And what good is that? You understand?
That's why the word said faith is the substance.
My God. Of things
hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So that's where learning come in at. And, you know, it takes some time. It takes a little time. And God will reveal it. He'll reveal it in his time. And that's where I stand on it. It said about seeking his kingdom first, you know, and,
right.
and his
right.
righteousness and all these things right. shall be added. So just like the little guy called me a couple of days ago, and then he came right back, and, you know, he's ready to get the book so he can get involved in it. And he said he'd been watching it for a long time.
Mm.
He just didn't know how to step up. But the patience, you know, and that's what it's about.
Sure.
Continue to do what you're doing and be patient.
Right. Well, Pastor, guess who I got on the line with me now?
Mm-hmm.
This is
on the line right now?
Yeah, right now. This is
open
microphone.
You got somebody that's my favorite people that's on the line.
You're going to love this one, brother. He's old time. We affectionately call him Brother Jock.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite people.
Why don't you welcome into the conversation here, Pastor? Why don't you do that for me?
Yeah, one of my favorite people is on the line there. Brother Josh, man, you're welcome, man. Matter of fact, you're so welcome right now that we're going to turn the floor over to you, man, so you can have something to say, you know? Hey, all right, Brother Josh. Talk to us.
Hold on one second, Elmo. We're getting some feedback. Josh, can you hear him? Can you hear him, Josh?
Yes, I can.
He told you to take the floor, brother. What's on your mind tonight? You don't talk straight.
Well, the Bible is...
Uh-oh.
So factual and real. You know that? It's so real.
Okay.
But so many people waste it. They waste it, and it's like somebody just dropping it and not picking it up.
I see. We're talking about the Bible now. The word, huh? That what you're talking about, John?
Yeah.
Dropping it.
The word. The word.
Somebody dropping it, but they just didn't pick it up.
Go ahead,
John.
So We have to prepare ourselves to strike. It's one thing. The pursue the other thing. Those are two valuable things right there.
Okay.
Right there.
Uh-oh.
If we don't pick them up, what will happen?
Okay. Well, Don, what you think about that?
If we don't do everything we are supposed to do. And also, I'm in the hospital right now.
Okay. Well, I wish you well.
If we don't do everything that we are supposed to do in the matter of the time and all of those things, we will not be blessed at all.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you make a great point, but now here's the challenge, though, Josh. You realize that there are some people don't even know what the Bible is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? How do we get them to appreciate the value of something they don't even know exists? You see what I mean, Josh? And then there are people, like you said earlier, they know it, but they threw it down and ain't trying to pick it back up. That they walk right over. So how do you get those who don't even know what it is that exists to value that big brother? That's a question Pastor, what do you think about that? How do we get those who don't even know? They can't even appreciate phantom.
You set the examples and said it continually, and eventually somebody will pick it up if you put it down.
I see.
And that is what Joshua is talking about when he says, you know, when it's being put down. I'm using that as a way to find out that something is going out.
Right.
And if you putting it down, somebody should be at some point picking it up because you're putting it down for a purpose. And I just want to make sure that I'm available to pick it up. Just like, you know, when the man was putting down that other stuff and I picked it up. So let me put something together to say to myself, I'm waiting on them to put something down that I can pick up that'll help me.
Wow.
You know, in other words, and that could be something that's going on also. So that's a beautiful thing, man, to just know you got to keep putting it down.
Right.
That's what you're doing, Pastor. You got to keep putting it down, man, and somebody will eventually pick it up and do something with it.
You know what I've noticed, gentlemen? I've noticed that people are not looking so much for what you say or what you read, Josh, from the Bible, but they're looking at how well you model and carry that out.
That's the thing.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was about to say also, we need to preach the word and also act on it.
Act on it, right. Right.
Yes, sir.
Because if we can't act on it, we can't do anything else for another soul.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'm going to bring Don in, and we've been getting some feedback. So, guys, I'm going to just don't go nowhere, but I'm going to bring Don in, and I'm going to close your, I'm going to turn you up for a second. All right. Don, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to some of that conversation about the Word and the Bible and acting on it and being real and that sort of thing, John. What say you to that?
Mr. Dockery, you know, I was telling a guy the other day when I first got out of the Navy, I never forget, I caught the bus to Cleveland. I gets home there with my father in Cleveland, Ohio, and he taught me four things.
What's
man
that?
Should always pray and not faint.
All right.
Number two was, not he who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of the Father.
Two. Okay.
Number three was, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Three. That's
the
three.
Fourth one was, the fourth one was, be as perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect.
That'll preach right there, Don. I believe you can walk water with that, man. Now.
So.
Okay. Pastor, did you hear that?
I heard him swinging, brother. Yeah, he's swinging, man.
Now, Don, what can we do with those four things in 2022? Can we use that in 2022, Don? Will that fly in 2022?
Oh, yes, Mr. Doc. Okay. If you get people praying and planning and doing the will of God, praying. Planning, and not he who says, Lord, Lord, but does. You see what I'm saying?
And be busy.
And just living by God's word alone, you'll be rich.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, that's the, Pastor, that sounds like...
There's wealth in that stream, yeah.
That sounds like a secret formula, man. But, preacher, that sounds like a secret formula, man.
Yeah, I would take that, man, and say it'll work.
See, because, Don, you know some of my people from the land of the bumping guns. They from the bumping guns people. That's what you call me. Always bumping their guns. They good for talking, but they ain't going to bust a drink with a 40-pound sled. If you pay them, you can give them money up front. Give them money up front, they still wouldn't bust a grid with a sledgehammer. And that's where the rubber meets the road, gentlemen. Young folk have seen us, Don, do a lot of talking. Huh? We've done a lot of shining and grinning.
That's right.
Huh? But what they have not seen...
You got to show them the work.
Yep, there you go. There you go. They have not seen the manifestation of what we're talking about. And I don't mean to indict myself or anyone else, but that's really what we need to ask ourselves. Why is it that they hear more than they see from us? And what we need to change.
Which is true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
if
true.
We're going to be effective now. We need
more work.
Yeah, uh-oh.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
You're right.
Uh-oh. Don, you're old and you're tired, man. You want to sit down now. You mean, Tim, I got to get up and work and put some more work in? I'm tired, man.
Yeah, man, Moses. Look, man, Moses went to 120 years. He was 120 years old, right?
Listen at him, Pastor. Listen at him, Pastor. Listen at him.
I hear you. I hear you over there, brother.
They so went to 120 on the time.
That's what the word said.
One writer said that man was promised. One writer said that man was promised 310 years, and if by reason of strength, fourscore. So I guess you work on your strength after a period of time. Okay, okay.
In other words, has some more to go.
Watch out, man. It ain't over yet. Let me do this, Don. Let me bring Josh back in. For some reason, we're getting feedback from with all of us on here. So y'all bear with me. Let me all give y'all to come in a little bit. All right. Brother Josh, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, okay. You heard some of what we've been talking about. What say you, man?
I say that is the the first thing you do. You pray, you fast. That's all the stuff you do. But there's work to be done.
Y'all talking about this work,
there
man.
There is work to be done.
Y'all talking about this work, man. What work, man? What you want me to do, man? Golly, man. What kind of work? Josh?
There's godly work. There's children that have to be fed.
My God. Educated.
There's a lot.
Okay, okay. So you're saying the family's got to be restored, huh? Home got to be built. People's characters got to be shaped. So you said ain't no time for playing, huh? It's work to be
done.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. And I got to catch up then, Josh, because I'm behind, man. Look like I'm behind the curve here, man. Y'all making it rough on me, brother. I thought I was doing something. No, I think that's a powerful point that's being put on the floor tonight. The fact that even though we've come a long way, right, unfortunately, we still got a long way to go. And ain't no time to give up now, right? I've been running. Mm-hmm. One songwriter said it like this, Pastor Waller. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I ain't got time.
hey, that's a word.
Yeah, I ain't got time. My. Yeah, that's what one writer said. I've been running a long time, and I ain't got time yet. That's good news right there. I got to keep on going. I got to keep on moving upstream. Got to keep on moving.
Yeah, you got some more to go. You got to keep going.
Yeah, the old folk used to say, few more rising and set another sun. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All go.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's it.
Yeah. I believe if we were down there in Dixon from where Don was in the old wooden church, they would say, I believe I press on and see what they ain't gonna be. Is that what they would say, Don?
Yes, sir.
Is that what they say? I believe I press on and see what they ain't gonna
be. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let me get a final call from each of you gentlemen, and then we'll wrap up our conversation. You've been listening to Talk Radio. This has been open mic. These brothers have been laying some stuff down tonight. I made a few notes, and I've been paying attention. Don just dropped stuff heavy on there. Four things I need. That's all right. Don't let that work yet. Josh, thank you for joining us, man. Give us a final thought. When we work our way out of here. Can you hear me, Josh? Give me a final thought right quick, boy.
He is almighty good. We have to work too.
Okay, then. All right, Josh. Looks like you go preoccupied. Okay. All right, Don. Give me a final thought there, big brother. Appreciate you, man. Great information.
Final thought in Selma, Alabama is we're going to get better as the years come.
Praise God. Praise God. And it's on us, isn't it, Don, to make it better.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Even if we can't do it all today, keep on staying. Because the race isn't given to the swift. Or the battle to the strong. Or the battle to all right, hey, Don, we appreciate you, big brother. Right, appreciate everything, man. And what we're going to do, we're going to turn the phone to Pastor Paulo for him to take us on out of here for the night. But Pastor?
Hey, now. Yes, sir.
Take us home for the night.
Yeah, we got a lot to be thankful for, and I just want to make sure you all know that we had a nice conversation. The dialogue was great.
Absolutely.
And I just want to encourage everybody that had a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be known that, you know, even though I heard a lot,
mm-hmm.
I said again, I heard a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Word of God said. Faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing
by the Word of God. And so he said, not only be a hearer only, but also be a doer.
Absolutely.
So I just like to be able to carry out some of the things that I heard, because I heard so much that
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make it known that to carry it out would make you become a doer of the Word of God.
Mm.
And that is worth talking about. Amen. So I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor, because if I think about the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, I can understand why he would prefer for me to carry that out.
Ah.
So be a doer of the word.
Okay.
And not a hearer only.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Well, that is perhaps the one thing that we need here. Is to, hold on 1 second. Is to know that when we have a charge, what we have is an opportunity to carry that charge out. And I would argue that's what most people are afraid of. That's what most people are afraid of, is that I might be by myself. But guess what? The songwriter said that I'll go if I have to go.
If I have to go. Yes, sir.
All by myself.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if my mama don't go, I'll go.
Man,
if my brother don't want to go, I'll go.
Right.
My friend don't want to go, I'll go.
Right, mama.
I'll go if I have to go. All by myself.
That's amazing.
As we go, Brother James Moore told us, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens.
Yes, sir.
We're going to leave on that tonight. We'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. Listen to what James said. Yes, sir. Can you do it? Yeah.
I can love me to that strengthens me.
I wish I had a witness here tonight. God bless you. We'll see you next Tuesday.